Most of you know a couple of times a year we like to have testimonies. Amen? We like testimonies. The transforming power of God. And so today we're going to hear from Michelle Marshall. And so Michelle, if you will come and share with us. Don't worry about the clock. It says 10 minutes to already. Sorry about that. Squeezing you into 10 minutes. Now you know how I feel.
I may not be done in 10 minutes.
Lord bless you.
Thank you. Well, as Jim said, I'm Michelle Marshall. And as you can tell, I'm trying to get ready for this. Jim has always said, confess with your mouth. Today, that's what I want to do. My family's originally from the Staples area, but my dad was living in Billings, Montana at the time I was born in 1954, working on the railroad out there. But just 2.5 years after I was born, my mom left my dad and moved back to her parents' farm south of Staples. From what I heard about my dad, he was a heavy drinker. I didn't remember my dad, and I never knew what he looked like. I did finally meet him when I was 30. I'd always pictured him as tall, dark, and handsome, but he was short, fat, and an alcoholic. I felt no connection to him at all. He had remarried and had other children, so I basically wished him well with his new family. I remember many, many good times at my grandparents' farm, even though I was very little. I had an uncle that was 10 years older than me, and we were inseparable. My mom soon met someone, and they got married, and we moved into Staples. I was probably about 6 then. Again, I enjoyed living on the farm. My mom was a devout Catholic. We would attend church every Sunday. Though I believed in God, went to church, I was upset that the Catholic Church treated my mom the way they did. She was banned from communion because she was divorced and forced to sit in the back of the church. I believed in God, but my faith was not very strong because of that. I always thought I had a normal childhood with a normal family life. But I found out much later that my young life had not been so normal. Things had happened to me that will always remain between me and God. I got engaged, and at 19, I got pregnant, and Mom and Dad were really disappointed in me. I remember my stepdad walking me down the aisle saying, "Your problems are your own. Don't ever bring them home." Shortly after I was married, I found out my husband was not the person I thought he was. He was very hot-headed and abusive. I had my head shoved through the wall many times and thrown against the dresser. But I never told anyone, especially my parents, what was going on. A few years after I was married, I had a small motorcycle, like a Honda 250, and Dad wanted to buy it. He lived only about 1.5 miles from work, and in the 70s, gas shortages, he bought my motorcycle to help save money. A few months after he bought it, he was in a horrible accident coming home from work. My dad didn't believe in helmets, and he suffered terrible head injuries. He was never the same after that. My mom always blamed me for the accident because I had sold him the motorcycle. If I hadn't sold it to him, he wouldn't have been in the accident. Excuse me. As my marriage continued to get worse, I found myself finding reasons to go somewhere at night before my husband got home. I got involved with softball, bowled 3 nights a week, joined the JCs. I started spending my nights at the bar until I knew he was in bed. Well, at the bar, I met someone. I had seen him around, and we started talking. We spent many nights talking, and it felt so good to talk to someone about my problems. But one thing led to another, and I soon found myself having an affair. This affair went on for years. I kept hearing the promises that soon he would leave his wife and we'd be together, but it never happened. A couple years after my dad's motorcycle accident, he had a heart attack. They tried to put a pacemaker in, but he died on the operating table at the age of 49. It was at that point that the family completely fell apart. My uncle came from Seattle for the funeral. We talked, and he said if I wanted to start over, he would help me move out there. I told my mom I was going to get a divorce, and she told me my ex would always have a place in her home anytime, but I could go to hell. I felt on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Over the years, I knew my ex had changed, but it was too late for us. I packed up what I could and left. After moving to Seattle, I thought my problems were behind me. The kids and I lived with my uncle. I soon found that I went right back into living with an alcoholic. He drank from morning until night. He was a dictator, and I felt like I was in prison. There was one time things were so bad, I remember grabbing one of his guns and getting in the car. I'd had enough, and I thought I would end it all. But I saw Becky standing on the doorstep. She was crying, and I could tell she was scared. I sat there looking at her, and I knew that I couldn't go through with it. I had to put my kids first, no matter what. He was good to the kids, but I felt trapped. As soon as I could, I got myself an old trailer house and had it moved into a park. I worked two jobs to try to make ends meet. During the summer, I always made sure the kids got back to Minnesota to spend time with their dad. The person I'd had the affair with kept calling and begging me to come back. I was an emotional wreck and lonely. I was also struggling financially, and that soon gave way to going to the bar to drown my sorrows. Sorry. There was one time I had had so much to drink I didn't remember going home. I got up and went to work the next day, still hungover. As the day went on, I started to remember things from the night before. I remembered going home and picking up my two youngest. David was probably around 7 or 8. I was taking them to get something to eat, and I started remembering my son crying and saying, "Mom, let me drive. You're going to get us hurt. Mom, let me drive. You're going to kill us." And I absolutely fell apart. That was a big turning point for me. I had put my kids in so much danger, and I swore never to do that again. As the kids got older, one by one, they moved back to Minnesota for various reasons, and it was much cheaper to go to college in Minnesota since her dad still lived there. Eventually, it was just Becky and I. In the meantime, I'd stopped one day at a local tavern to have something to eat before going from my first job to my second job. I saw this man, and we started talking. I remember telling myself, "I'm going to marry this guy." He told me he worked across the road as a sand and gravel truck driver. We talked, and then I had to go to work. Before I left, he told me where he was staying. He had just left his girlfriend and put everything in storage, and he was staying in his car by the river. The next day was a weekend, so I went looking for him. I found him in the car sleeping and just left my phone number. A couple days later, he called me, and we started going out. I realized pretty quickly he was an alcoholic. But he was a closet drinker. You never saw him drink. He hid it from everyone. But I saw something in him, and I was sure I could get through to him. Eventually, he moved in with me, and I found myself spending my time looking for hidden bottles. The more I threw away, the more he bought. He kept promising to quit, but I could always tell when he was drinking. During one of those times that my youngest daughter had gone back to spend the summer with her dad, I got a call from my son David. He told me my daughter was pregnant. She had been date raped by a friend at school, and she had just turned 14. Because my faith was not very strong, I made the decision that when she got home, she would have an abortion. All I could think about was I didn't want Becky to have a baby so young. I've asked for God's forgiveness. At times, I still am trying to find a way to forgive myself. Alan and I got married. And we took a trip to Minnesota and stayed with my mom one Christmas. Alan had started drinking again. There was an incident, and I told him I'd had enough. I told him that when we got back to Washington, he had to pack his stuff and move out. That was the longest 1,400 miles of my life. He promised to quit, but he had promised that many times before. But this time he did. I guess the 1,400 miles gave him time to think also. I always told Alan I fell in love with a real person deep down inside. He just had to get past his problems. We eventually sold a mobile home, built a house in Buckley, Washington, and I loved my house, and Alan enjoyed working on the landscaping. It was a great time in our lives. Becky graduated and decided she was going to move back to Minnesota to go to college. 2 weeks after she left, I told Alan I was selling the house and moving to Minnesota. Was he coming? Alan was retired, and I took a voluntary layoff from Boeing, and we came back to Minnesota. As soon as I moved back, I could tell that Mom's dementia was really bad. Within a year or so, she was in the nursing home. She was there 6 years before she passed away. I still remember the final time she knew who I was and said my name. We were called to the nursing home one night because they knew she was bad and would not make it through the night. While I was alone with Mom, I sat down beside her. I didn't know if she could hear me, but I asked for her forgiveness for all the things I had put her through, and I forgave her for what she had said to me. I talked to her a little more, and I felt at peace. She passed away just a few hours later, May 24th of 2012. Alan and I moved into our new house here in Minnesota, and life went on. Alan stopped drinking, and things started looking up for us. Alan had met our neighbor, Jim Johnson, and talked about Jim being a pastor and maybe we should start going to church. For some reason, I wasn't ready. I had so much guilt about my past, I didn't feel worthy to go to church. One day, I was waiting for Alan to come home from church, and he was really late. When he got home, he was all wet. I asked him what happened, and he said he'd gotten baptized. That was the beginning and end for me, the beginning of my new life and the end of my old life. Right now, my kids are my biggest concern for me. Only one believes in the Lord. He's a practicing Christian, and he's bringing his children up in the Lord. My other kids are caught between believing in God but not practicing their faith, and not believing at all, which affects my grandkids. This hurts my heart, as I feel partly responsible. I'm consumed by ifs. If I hadn't left their dad, if I hadn't worked two jobs and took more time for church, if I hadn't done this, if I hadn't done that, maybe things would be different for them. And I still have the reminders of my old life now that I've moved back. As soon as I moved back, the person I had been seeing called and wanted to see me again. Moving back to my hometown, I see people and places that bring back the memories of things from my past. I know it's the devil causing me to feel the guilt because I have truly asked God's forgiveness and I believe he has forgiven me. Alan's dad had always thanked me for saving Alan's life. Maybe I did. But Alan also saved mine, because between Alan, Pastor Jim, my church family, and God, I'm not who I used to be.
Glory to God. Alan and Michelle have both been born again. They've been born into the kingdom of God. They have been redeemed. And so remember to pray for them and their children. God is in the redeeming business. Amen? Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for redemption in Jesus. Thank you for this testimony we have heard today by your daughter, Michelle. We give you praise and honor and glory, Father, for walking with us through the difficult parts of life. We give you praise this morning for your forgiveness for our sometimes hastily made decisions. We give you praise for your grace. And we give you praise for being willing to redeem us. No matter where we were, no matter how far away we'd gotten, we give you praise for being willing to redeem us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, if there's anyone here today that is walking the path apart from you, maybe believes, but hasn't been born again, speak to their ears real clearly. Speak to their hearts today, O God. Help them to be redeemed, to lay everything at the foot of the cross of Jesus and confess sin and repent of it and invite Jesus Christ to be Lord of their lives. To the glory of God, we pray this. And so go with us now as we go from this place saying, thank you, Lord. You've redeemed us and you're willing to redeem everyone else too that's willing to come to the cross. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.